Chapter 16, Your People Strategy. Life games reflect life aims. Robert S. DeRopp, The Master Game. How do I get my people to do what I want? This is the one question I hear most often from small business owners. And the answer I invariably give them is, you can't. You can't get your people to do anything. If you want it done, I tell them, you're going to have to create an environment in which doing it is more important to your people than not doing it, where doing it well becomes a way of life for them. Since that's the question most often asked of me, I was intrigued with the hotel manager's answer to my question, how do you get your people to do what you want? His response was refreshing because it is so rare that I hear something like it. The first thing that surprised me when I came to work here, the manager said, was that the owner took me seriously. I mean, think about it. Here I was, a kid with absolutely no experience in this business. But he never treated me that way. He treated me as though I were a serious adult, somebody worth talking to about what he obviously considered important. And that was the second thing that surprised me when I came to work here, the manager continued. How seriously the boss took the operation of this hotel. I mean, it just wasn't that he took it seriously. Everyone I've ever worked for was serious about his business. It was the kind of seriousness he had. It was as though the hotel was more than just a hotel to him. It was like the hotel was an expression of who he was, a symbol of what he believed in. So if I hadn't taken the hotel seriously, it would have looked like I wasn't taking him seriously, as a man whose values I respected. I guess that's why he took me seriously. It established a level of communication between us that made it possible for me to listen to what he believed in and how the hotel expressed those beliefs on a day-to-day basis. I'll never forget my first day here, he went on. It was like I was being initiated into a fraternity or something. It was right here that it happened. He waved his arm in a circle, indicating the office in which we were sitting. This used to be his office. I was sitting where you're sitting, he said, and the boss was sitting here. He pointed at the chair in which he was sitting. It was a Monday morning, and they had just had a big weekend, so there was a ton of stuff to do. Usually when I start a new job, the first thing that happens is that the person who hires me takes a minute to describe what I'm supposed to do and then throws me out there to do it. So I was surprised when the boss asked me if I wanted a cup of coffee. He seemed so unhurried, so unbusinesslike, you might say. No, that wasn't it, the manager corrected himself. He was probably the most businesslike person I had ever met. But it was how he was about his business that struck me. He seemed to be saying that what we were going to talk about was the most important thing on his agenda that day, that discussing my job was more important to him than doing the work that was going on at the time. He wasn't hiring me to work. He was hiring me to do something much more important than that. The manager smiled. You know, I've never said this to anyone before. It's really strange. But while I'm telling you all of this, it's becoming clear to me why I have so much respect for this place. It's because I have so much respect for the boss. To me, the place is him. If I didn't respect him, I don't think I would be as good at what I do here as I am. Somehow, the idea of what we do here is his idea. And that's what he took so long to communicate to me on that very first day. His idea of this place and what that meant to him. What he told me was something nobody has ever said to me before in any job. He said, The work we do is a reflection of who we are. If we're sloppy at it, it's because we're sloppy inside. If we're late at it, it's because we're late inside. If we're bored by it, it's because we're bored inside, with ourselves, not with the work. The most menial work can be a piece of art when done by an artist. So the job here is not outside of ourselves, but inside of ourselves. How we do our work becomes a mirror of how we are inside. The manager continued as if the owner were talking through him. Work is passive without you. It can't do anything. Work is only an idea before a person does it. But the moment a person does it, the impact of the work on the world becomes a reflection of that idea, the idea behind the work, as well as the person doing it. In the process, the work you do becomes you, and you become the force that breathes life into the idea behind the work. You become the creator of the impact on the world of the work you do. There is no such thing as undesirable work, he continued. There are only people who see certain kinds of work as undesirable. People who use every excuse in the world to justify why they have to do work they hate to do. People who look upon their work as a punishment for who they are and where they stand in the world, rather than as an opportunity to see themselves as they really are. What the boss said is that people like that don't bring life to the idea of the work they do. They bring death to it. The result of that is always what we experience as the sloppy, inconsiderate, inconsistent, and inhuman transactions that take place between most businesses and the people who buy from them. Exactly the opposite of what we have here. And the reason it's different here is because we give everyone who comes to work at the hotel an opportunity to make a choice. Not after they've done the work, but before. And we do that by making sure they understand the idea behind the work they're being asked to do. I guess that's what excited me most about taking this job, said the manager. It's the very first place I've ever gone to work where there was an idea behind the work that was more important than the work itself. The idea the boss expressed to me was broken down into three parts. The first says that the customer is not always right, but whether he is or not, it is our job to make him feel that way. The second says that everyone who works here is expected to work toward being the best he can possibly be at the tasks he's accountable for. When he can't do that, he should act like he is until he gets around to it. And if he's unwilling to act like it, he should leave. The third says that the business is a place where everything we know how to do is tested by what we don't know how to do, and that the conflict between the two is what creates growth, is what creates meaning. The idea the boss has about the business comes down to one essential notion, that a business is like a martial arts practice hall, a dojo, a place you go to practice being the best you can be. But the true combat in a dojo is not between one person and another, as most people believe it to be. The true combat in a martial arts practice hall is between the people within ourselves. That's what the boss and I talked about in our first meeting. His philosophy about work and about business. I came to understand that the hotel was the least important thing in our relationship. What was important was how seriously I took to playing the game he had created here. He wasn't looking for employees so much as for players in his game. He was looking for people who wanted something more than just a job. What the manager was telling me and what the boss had told him was that people, your people, do not simply want to work for exciting people. They want to work for people who have created a clearly defined structure for acting in the world, a structure through which they can test themselves and be tested. Such a structure is called a game. And there is nothing more exciting than a well-conceived game. That is what the very best businesses represent to the people who create them. A game to be played in which the rules symbolize the idea you, the owner, have about the world. If your idea is a positive one, your business will reflect that optimism. If your idea is a negative one, your business will reflect that as well. In this context, the degree to which your people do what you want is the degree to which they buy into your game. And the degree to which they buy into your game doesn't depend on them, but on how well you communicate the game to them. At the outset of your relationship, not after it's begun. Your people's strategy is the way you communicate this idea. It starts with your primary aim and your strategic objective, and continues through your organizational strategy, your organization chart, and the position contracts for all the positions in it, and the operations manuals that define the work your people do. It is communicated through the beliefs you have and the way you expect your prototype to exemplify them, through the standards you establish for the performance of accountabilities at all levels and in all sectors of your prototype, through the words you use to describe what your business needs to become for your customer, for your people, for yourself, if it's to be more than just a place where people go to work. But the game your business will play can't simply be captured on the written page. It must be seen if it's to work. It must be experienced. It is first, last, and always about how you act. The words will become hollow if the game is a contrived one. The game can't be created as a device to enroll your people. It can't become cynical if it's to provide your people with what they need in order to come alive while playing it. The game has to be real. You have to mean it. The game is a measure of you. How you act in the game establishes how you will be regarded by the other players.